Sechtes Bava Basra, Daf Tzadik, four lines from the bottom of that Peitas and Rebeis. We previously saw the member of Rabbi Yehuda, name of Rav, that stated that Chum made a takana that Asal Adam Shisha Midi Chaser or Yaseru Metech Beisai, Vafilu Yavit Shilmei Meraglayim, in order to make sure that a person doesn't clean out his Yavit Shilmei Meraglayim and use it as a measuring cup and will come to cheat people. And we already saw the first part of this Braisa, that Talina Mehochi, that the Braisa brought a raya to Rabbi Yehuda, name of Rav, that Lisha Adam Midi Chaser or Yaseru Metech Beisai, Vafilu. And now the Braisa continues and discusses the various types of measuring cups that were instituted by the Chachamim, both for dry measures as well as for wet measures. And the Braisa will first start with dry measures and then continue and discuss wet measurements. And as we will see, there will be smaller measurements for wet measures than there are for dry measures. And Rashbam Adav Tzadik explains that the reason is because Avil Yovish in Darker Limdid Bekli Katan Kolkach, regarding dry measures, it wasn't normal to measure small amounts in a measuring cup and instead it was sold based on estimation or with weight in davyakuhi if it was an expensive item. Before we continue, let's start with a small akdama that the Gemara will explain that all of these measuring cups that the Rabbanan instituted were made in various sizes and with various shiurim, but they were also made specifically in a way that their measurements should not be that close to each other. One measuring cup should not be that close in size to another measuring cup, as if it would be so, then it would potential that the seller would use the smaller measuring cup, and since there would be such a small difference between the measuring cups, so the buyer would not realize and the seller would be able to cheat the buyer. And also, as we have discussed many times in Shas, the difference between measuring something milabar or milagav, and our Gemara, when discussing the various differences between measurements, we will be discussing the difference based on a measurement that's milabar. And let us give two examples, one relevant to measurements and one relevant to money. So for example, if you have a measuring cup that is able to hold two kav, and there's another measuring cup that is able to hold three kav, then we say we added on a kav milabar. One kav out of three kav is 33% and is 1/3. And similarly, with game money, if someone initially has $1,000 and you want to add on a shtus by adding 20% and adding $200, then you'll have a total of $1,200. And 1/6 of $1,200 is, of course, $200. And that is called the shtus milabar. And our Gemara now continues with the Braisa. And the Braisa first discusses the dry measure and states Avol Eishu Sar Takav V'Chatzi Takav V'Kav V'Chatzi Kav V'Roy V'Tuman V'Chatzi Tuman V'Uchla. All of these are the measuring cups that were instituted for dry measurements. And as Rashbam explains, a sa is six kav, and a takav is really a chatzi sa, which is three kav. And the word takav comes from the lashon of trei v'kav, which means two kav plus one kav, and is three kav. And V'Chatzi Takav, and a half of takav, is 1.5 kav. V'kav and a kav, which is really 1/3 less than a chetzi takav, because a chetzi takav is 1.5 kav, and therefore a half of a kav would be 1/3 of a takav. Therefore, we're able to make a measuring cup called a kav. And as Rashbam points out, a kav is also 4 lug, and every lug equals 6 bayim, and therefore a kav equals 24 bayim. And the reason why the Rashbam points this out is because Rashbam wants to show the measuring cups that we use for dry measurements were actually the same size as the measuring cups that we will see that we use for liquid measurements. And as the Braisa will continue and discuss on Daf Tzadik Amud Aleph, the next size container was a chetzi kav, which is a half of a kav, which is of course 2 lug or 12 bayim. The container that was smaller than that was a reva kav, which is of course a quarter of a kav, which would equal exactly a lug or 6 bayim. As Rashbam points out, that when the Braisa used the lashon of reva, which is a lashon zachar, then we're referring to a reva kav, which is of course 1 lug. However, when the Gemara speaks about a revius, then speaking about a revius halug, which is really the same size as a 16th of a kav, and as we will see when discussing dry measurements, that would be the same share as a chetzi tuman. The size of the next container is a tuman, which is a half of a roiba, which is an 1/8 of a kav, and of course that would be the same as a half a lug or 3 bayim, and a chetzi tuman would be half of a tuman, which would be 1/16 of a kav, or the same as a revius halug, which would be 1.5 bayim. We continue on Daf Tzadik Man Aleph, and finally the Braisa teaches us that the smallest container for a dry measurement is an uchla, and the Gemara is v'kamei uchla, and how much is the share of an uchla? And the Gemara responds, echa mechamisha b'revia, that it's actually 1/5 a revia kav, which means that's 1/20 of a kav. And as Rashbam points out, 1/5 of a reva kav, which is as if the Gemara just stated that it's 1/5 of a lug, as of course a lug is a quarter of a kav, and since a lug is 6 bayim, so therefore a fifth of a lug is the size of 1/5 eggs. And let's keep in mind that the difference between the container that holds a chetzi tuman, which is 1/16 of a kav, kav, and the container which holds an uchla, which is 1/20 of a kav, is a difference of 20% milibar, and the Gemara will ask that l'chira, we shouldn't make such containers that are so close in size. And the Braisa will now continue and discuss the containers that were mesukin for liquid measurements. And as we will see, the first seven of the measurements will actually correspond to the containers that had similar measurements by dry measurements. The Braisa states, of midas halach hu oisa hin v'chetzi hin u'shlusha hin v'reviyas hin v'lug v'chetzi lug v'reviyas v'shminis v'echa mishmoinu v'shminis v'zeo kortav. And the containers that we use for liquid measurements were a hin, which Rashbam explains is similar to a takav, as it holds 12 lug, and the chetzi hin, which is the same share as a chetzi takav, or 1.5 kav, u'shlusha hin, and a third of a hin, which corresponds to a kav, who has a shlusha hin, and a kav is exactly 4 lug, v'reviyas hin, and a quarter of a hin, which is 3 lug, v'lug, and 1 lug. And as we explained before, a lug is the same share as roiva kav, and the Braisa continues, v'chetzi lug, corresponds to the share of a tumon that we previously mentioned, b'negeya dry measurements, which was 1/8 of a kav, v'reviyas, and a quarter of a lug, which would correspond to a half a tumon, which we mentioned, b'negeya dry measurements, which was 1/16 of a kav, and which was 1.5 bayim. And the Braisa continues, and the next container was, v'shminis, 1/8 of a lug, which is, of course, half of a reviyas, which is, of course, 3/4 of a beya, v'echa mishmoinu b'shminis. Then finally, there was a very small kli that was 1/64 of a lug, which is approximately 1/4 of an ounce. And Rashbam points out that this share of a kortav is mentioned in many places, b'negei mikvois, as the Mishnah state, mem sa chasa kortav, where we have 40 sa of water, and it's almost a mikvah, but the mikvah is missing a kortav, which really is a very small amount. The Gemara continues and discusses the dry measurements, and we mentioned that we have a measuring cup which held 3 kav, and we also mentioned that we have a measuring cup that holds 1.5 kav, and the Gemara asks, v'lavin nami kabayim, l'chari, we should make a measuring cup that can hold 2 kav, and why don't we make such a measuring cup as well? And the Gemara responds, asalach lufi b'takav, as if you do so, people will get mixed up with the takav, which is 3 kav. If a buyer asks the seller to sell him 3 kav of tefuah, then the seller may use a measuring cup that only measures 2 kav, and the buyer will not be able to realize the difference, and they'll come to defraud the buyer. Based on this point, the Gemara states, Alma to inshi tilsa, so it seems that the Gemara is concerned that a person will make a mistake on a keli that's a third less than the original keli. For example, since we have a kli, which is a takav, which is 3 kav, and a third of a takav is, of course, 2 kav, so therefore we don't allow you to make a measuring cup that measures 2 kav, as that is something that people will confuse. The Gemara continues, and therefore asks, as Lamaisa we stated that there is a measuring cup that measures 1.5 kav, and if so, how could the Braisa also state that we allow you to make a measuring cup which measures exactly a kav? That measuring cup is exactly 1/3 smaller than a chetzi takav, as a chetzi takav is 1.5 kav, and 1 kav is, of course, 1/3 less than 1.5 kav. And because of this issue, so the Gemara now changes its position, and the Gemara states, El kabayim hayon taim d'lo ovid, the osel achlufi b'chetzi takav, that the reason why the Chacham did not institute a keli that could hold 2 kav is because if they did so, people will confuse that with the chetzi takav. And as we explained, the chetzi takav is 1.5 kav, and if we have a kli that's 2 kav, and that kli would be 25% larger than the chetzi takav, and people would confuse the two. And once again, the Gemara points out, Alma toi inish riva, if you're telling me that people will make a mistake between 2 kav and 1.5 kav, so we see that people could make a mistake between 2 measurements that have a difference of 25%, and hihachi chetzi tum of uchla loy lavid, and if so, you shouldn't be able to make a chetzi tumen and uchla. And as we explain, a chetzi tumen is 1/16, and a uchla is 1/20 of a kav, and the difference between 1/20 and 1/16 is less than 25%, and it's actually 20% milabar. The Gemara answers, Amra Papa, Rav Papa explains, midas katanis b'kiyabu inchi, although between 2 kav and 1.5 kav, people will make a mistake, as that is a 25% difference. However, even though there's only a 20% difference between a chetzi tumen and an uchla, people will still not make a mistake, as since these kalim are such small kalim, therefore people will be able to determine and they'll be able to differentiate between the two kalim, even though we allow you to have a chetzi tumen and an uchla, a seller will not be able to defraud a buyer, as a buyer will be able to differentiate between these two types of kalim because they're such small amounts and they're such small kalim, and therefore it's very discernible as to the difference between the two kalim. The Gemara now continues and turns its attention to the liquid measurements, and the Gemara therefore asks, shlisha hin, reviyas hin, loy lavid, the lachari, you shouldn't be able to make a third of a hin and a kli that holds a reviyas hin, as a shlishas hin, which is 1/3 of a hin, is 4 lug, and a reviyas hin, which is 1/4 of a hin, is equal to 3 lug, and the difference between the two is only 25% milibar, as if you remove 25% descend from 4 lug, that equals 3 lug, and we said that people make a mistake with rivah with 25%, and therefore you should be able to make these two types of containers by liquid measurements. And the Gemara answers, Kiv Nahav Migdash Loi Gazbe Rabbanan, that since these measurements were used in the base of Migdash, and as we know, the Torah tells us that we would bring wine together with our karbanos, and there would be a chetze ahin lepar, a shlus ahin la'ayel, and a revi'is ahin lekaves. Therefore, since we certainly need these types of kelim and these measuring cups in the base of Migdash in order to measure out a quarter of a lug and a third of a lug, therefore the Rabbanan did not make a gzira, and even though it is only 25% difference between these two measuring cups, and the Gemara asks, but Migdash Nami Ligzar, the Lachari in the base of Migdash, the Rabbanan should made a takana, we shouldn't have both a measuring cup full liquid that was the Shlisha Hin and also a measuring cup that was the Revi'isa Hin, as it could lead to confusion, and potentially the Kehanim would actually mix up the amounts that they would use for the Nesachim. The Gemara responds, Kehanim's reason Hin, that certainly in the base of Migdash, the Rabbanan wouldn't make such a takana, as that he understood that there's a cloud that the Kehanim has reason, and therefore the Kehanim would not make such a mistake. And Taisus is bothered that how could the Gemara ask, but Migdash Nami Ligzar, if the Torah specifies they have to bring a Shlisha Hin la'ayel and a Revi'isa Hin la'keves, and Taisus explains that since a Shlisha Hin is actually 4 lug and a Revi'isa Hin is actually 3 lug, so maybe the Rabbanan should have stated that we should only use a measuring cup which is a lug. When a carbon ayel required Shlisha Hin, then we would take 4 lug and we would measure out 4 measurements of a lug each, and that would be the amount for Shlisha Hin. And when we need a Revi'isa Hin, which equals 3 lug, then we would fill up the measuring cup of a lug 3 times, and that would equal exactly a Revi'isa Hin, and we wouldn't have specific measuring cups for a Revi'isa Hin or Shlisha Hin. And as Taisa states, Aval Pisha Yitzvichan Lulay Shlisha Hin La'ayel Revi'isa Lekeves Yechayin Lohilim Der Belugin L'chetze Hin for a par, they would measure out 6 lugin, and when requiring L'shlisha Hin for an ayel, then it would measure out Abal Lugin, and Revi'ish Lugin for a Revi'isa Hin for Keves, they would measure out 3 Lugin. Now that we already learned that the Gemara taught us the person would make a mistake between two measuring cups that are within 25% of each other, so we can understand the Rashbam and Dibel Maschel Revi'isa Hin, where he asks, V'hadloi Ovid Nami Chetzi Revi'isa Hin, Dahinu Lugu Mechza, and why did the Gemara not also add in a half of Revi'isa Hin, which would be a Lugu Mechza? Why did the Gemara go directly from Revi'is to a Shminis, which is really a 50% difference? The Rashbam answers, Mishum the Asulimitoi, as since there was a measuring cup that was a chetzi kav, which was by dry measurements, which equals 2 lugin, therefore there would only be a difference of 25% between the kli that held beis lugin and the kli that held 1.5 lug. As we just explained, v'aminul kamon the birva tau inshi, as Rashbam points out. Before we continue, even though in our Gemara it's mashma that they actually had 3 different kelim in the beis mikdash, and they had a kli which was a half a lug, a kli which was a third of a lug, and a kli which was a quarter of a lug. However, ayin derashbam dilo maskol kibun davu migdash kedamar leel. As we learned at our pevarim beis, that shintos hayu behin in the measuring cup called a hin, they would actually have lines on that particular measuring cup, and they would have ad kama par, which was a half a hin, ad kama ayel, which was a third of a hin, and ad kama keves, which was a quarter of a hin. Dahinu chetzi v'shlishes v'yisahin ayin sham. And the gemara continues. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel teaches us in mesif al midas yis mishdos that if a town decides to change the measuring cups that were already instituted, then although certainly you're going to break all the old measuring cups, as those will no longer be in use and those will be batal, however you can't institute that the new measuring cups will be larger than a 6 more than it used to be. Gemara will explain the reason for this takana, and you also can't increase the size of coins more than a 6. Shmuel teaches us a third din, if someone is selling anything which is a necessary staple for basic needs in life, then they can't sell it for more than a 1/6 profit. As Rashbam explained, like a storekeeper, and he buys a lot of wine and a lot of fruits from a wholesaler in order to sell a little bit of that time, he can't profit more than a 6, and this is only if there was an inflation. However, if he bought it at a cheaper price and now the price went up, and certainly at that point he could sell it based on market conditions and market price, and this is based on the Takanos Chachamim that at least in regard to basic staples that people should be able to afford it, and therefore a storekeeper cannot mark up basic needs more than 20% of his original cost, as that of course would be a 1/6 profit milabar. The Gemara now goes back to explain the first member of Shmuel, as Shmuel stated that the people in the city cannot decide to add on more than a 6 to all of their measurements. And for example, if they originally had a measuring cup that measured 5 bayim, then they're allowed to add 20%, which would be 1 egg. The new measuring cup would be 6 bayim, which at this point is 1/6 more than the size of the original kli. And once again, this shtus is milibar and not milagav. Mer continues and asks, my taima, and what is the reason for this takana? Ilem mishum of kriyatara shtus namiloi. And if you're going to tell me the reason is because Shmuel was concerned that if you would actually increase the size of the measuring cup, and once there's a change in measuring cups, so the storekeepers will also increase their prices, and instead of just increasing it by 1/6, take into account that they're also giving away 1/6 more peiros or 1/6 more of the tefuah, they will actually add on a lot more than that to the price. And of course, this will hurt consumers, but the Gemara is that if this is a concern, then l'chayr, we shouldn't allow the city to make any changes to measuring cups, as once we make any change, then certainly people will take advantage of that change, and they'll change the pricing as well, and they'll increase the price even more than the percentage and the ratio of the change that was made to the kelim. And if so, we shouldn't allow any changes. And the Gemara continues, Ela mishumayna d'leila havi bitul mekach. And if you're going to tell me that the reason why you can't increase the size of the measuring cups by more than a 6 is because the Rabbanim want to make sure that when we're misaking something that doesn't cause a major problem in the marketplace, and we don't want consistent problems where people will claim that it was a mekach tais. And the Rashbam gives an example. For example, where donkey drivers come and selling wholesale, and they used to sell 5 kav for 5 dinar. And these donkey drivers that came from a different city will not realize that there was a change made to the measuring cups. And when they sell their wares, they will actually use the new measuring cups, and they will actually be giving 6 kav for 5 bayim. It will turn out that the donkey drivers will be cheated by 1/6, and they'll be cheated by 1 dinar, as really they should have gotten 6 dinar, and instead they receive 5 dinar for 6 kav, since they only increased the measurements by exactly a shus. So these sellers were cheated by exactly a shtus, and the dinar is by a shtus that the mekach is kayim, but the buyer would have to give an extra dinar to the sellers, and therefore the seller would be made whole, and the seller would not be able to claim that's a mekach tais. However, if we would allow the city to actually increase the measuring cups by more than a 6, then it would come out that every seller that's coming from a different town will potentially be cheated out of more than a 6, and then there would be a dinar, bitul mekach, and they could actually be mevatel the mekach completely. And since the Rabbanan didn't want it to happen, therefore they made a takana that you should only make a change to the measuring cups by exactly 1/6. But the Gemara continues and says that there can't be the Pshat and Shmuel, as the Amar Rabba taught us, called Dov Shav Mida V'Shav Mishkel V'Shav Binyan, Afilu Pachs B'Chdei Ha'inah Chayza, any item that is measured or is weighed or is counted, that even if it's less than a difference of a 6, then it will be considered a Mechach Tais, and the buyer or the seller could be Chayza. Therefore, how could Shmuel state if this town would only change the measuring cups by 1/6, and the seller would not be able to claim that it's a Mechach Tais? But certainly in this case, since it's a Dov Shav Mida, that the seller could certainly claim that it's a Mechach Tais, as Lemaisa he gave away more than he anticipated, and even though the price discrepancy wasn't more than a 6, but the seller could still claim that it was a Mechach Tais. He thought that he was selling 5 kav to Shimon, and meanwhile he sold 6 kav to Shimon. As Rashbam explains, in this case there wasn't a Tais regarding the money, and it was a Tais regarding the Etzem item that Reuven sold to Shimon, and therefore both parties could claim that it's a Mechach Tais, and they both could be Chayzer. Gemara continues, Elo Delilah Hevi Pseid Latigra, that the reason for Shmuel's Halacha is not based on a Din of Einah, but it's based on the fact that if a seller comes from a different town and will now sell his produce for the same price that he used to sell it, since his profit margin is 1/6, if the town now increases their measuring cups by more than 1/6, then it will turn out that this merchant will actually be selling the products that he's selling to this town at a loss, and he will actually lose money. Therefore, the Rabbanim made a takana that we can't increase the measurements by more than 1/6. And the Gemara is, Pseidu Loi Lehavile, Revach Loi Bayi, who comes out Lefi Shmuel, that the only takana that Rabbanim were making is in order to make sure that the merchant doesn't have a loss and doesn't sustain a loss. But it seems that Shmuel is not concerned that the merchant should actually make a profit. And the Gemara is, Zavin Vizavin, Tagra Ikri, do you think that someone that buys merchandise at one price and sells it for exactly the same price is considered a merchant? Surely, even if a merchant sells his merchandise at exactly the same price, then not only did he not make a profit, but surely it's considered a loss, as he had to put time and effort in order to buy merchandise and to travel, and of course he has his own expenses while traveling, and certainly that would be a loss as well. And therefore, how could Shmuel say that we allow the town to increase the measurements by 1/6, and L'chayr, by increasing it only by 1/6, will not allow the merchant to make a profit and will actually sustain a loss? Ayin Rashbam, Diva Maschel, Zav Mizav, and Tagra Ikri, Bitmiya, Mashalu, Vilhil, Kach, Kona, Tfuah, Rachamikan, Shitnena, Kan, Boisin, Domim, Kadesh, Yikra, Taga, Viach, In, Choshish, and he doesn't care to make a a prophet, Havada in Chopsed Grelum Zu, Reach Vaicho, Vaina Maviach, Vahochi Havulumemo, a Massifal Midistos, Ki in Pachas Mistos, Kadisha Viachataga Porto, and really Shmuel should have taught us that you can't increase the measurements by exactly a six, and less than a six, you potentially could increase it, as at least in that case, the merchant could potentially make a profit. The Gemara continues, Elamar of Chista, therefore of Chista states, Shmuel Kro Eshkach Vidarish, that Shmuel actually found a Pasuk in the Cheskel, and he dashed in that Pasuk, and therefore Shmuel learned out from that Pasuk that even though it's true that the Svar doesn't make sense, that Zavim Zavim Tagri agree, but we see in the Pasuk that the Pasuk does allow someone to increase prices by 1/6, and therefore Shmuel says that we see from the Pasuk Xeris HaKosov that he allowed to do so, but we don't see that he allowed to increase it more than 1/6, and therefore Shmuel made a takana that in Masif al Hamidas Yosem Mishtos. Before we explain the Pasuk in the Cheskel, let us point out that generally we know that a shekel was equal 4 dinar, and therefore if you had 25 shekel, that would equal a mana, which is 100 dinar. However, the Gemara will point out that in the Beis Hamikdash, all measurements were double. Therefore, when we're referring to a mana in regard to the Beis Hamikdash, we're actually referring to the value of 200 dinar or 200 zuz. Really, in the Beis Hamikdash, 50 shekel equals a mana, which equals 200 dinar. The Pasuk states, Vashekel esrim gira, a shekel was 20 gira, esrim shkolim, and 20 shkolim, plus chamisha ve'esrim shkolim, and 25 shkolim, and plus asar v'chamisha shekel, and 15 shekel, hamana yilachem, that equals a mana. Although the Pasuk in Yecheskel broke up a mana into 20 and 25 and 15 shekel, but it actually is telling us that a mana equals 60 shekel. At the last Rashbam on the Amid states, Shalosh chashbonis halal biyachat hamana yilachem, v'yesh loyma, v'yesh mekoymish hamana chamisha asa shloyim, and there were places where 15 seller equaled a mana, v'yesh esrim shloyim, and there were some places where it was 20 seller per mana, v'yesh chamisha esrim, and there were places where 25 seller equaled a mana, and l'kach nem, shloysh hamana malalu, hamana shalkoyish yilachem, that the mana of Hegdish is actually comprised of 60 shkolim. We continue at that tzadik on the base, and the Gemara continued that we originally stated that every shekel is 4 dinar, and therefore if you have 25 shekel, that will equal 100 dinar, which would be a mana, and therefore the Gemara asks that how could the Pasuk state that this would be a mana, masavah barnhava, since we just stated that there's 60 shekel, and every shekel has 4 dinar, so 60 shekel times 4 dinar is of course 240 dinar, and not a mana. Therefore the Gemara explains, elishma minar klas, we see from this Pasuk three ideas. Number one, shma minar, mana shel kodesh kafal haya, that the mana of Hegdish was actually double, and therefore instead of a mana being 100 dinar, it's actually 200 dinar, and shma minar, mesifal amidais, and the second thing we learn is that it's mutter to increase the size of measuring cups as well as the size of coins. Therefore, in the time of Yecheskel, they increased the size of the coins. That is why, although a mana of Hegdish should have been 200 dinar or 200 zuz, but the Maisa, they increased the size of the mana and it became the size of 240 dinar or 60 shkalim. Of course, 20% more than 200 shekel is 40 shekel, and now that you have 240 shekel, so the 40 shekel represents 1/6 of the final amount, which is called milabar. And Rashbam explains that the next four words are actually words of Shmuel, that ve'im leisif and yos mishtos, as since in this pasuk we only see that they increased by 1/6, therefore we have a raya that you could increase the measurements and you could increase the coins by 1/6, but we don't see any raya that you could do more than that, and the reasoning behind Shmuel's din is not based on the actual svara, but it's based on Xeris HaKosov. Finally, the Gemara explains, Ushma Minah, Shtusul Malabar, that the third Shma Minah is that the Shtus that we're referring to is from the outside and from the final total, 240 dinar, which is the final amount of the mana of Hegdish, is actually a six more than the original amount, which was 200 dinar. Before we continue, let's see the Rashbam on Daf Tzadik Amud Beis, the top Rashbam, Dira Maschel, Mana, Mosim Vabonava, Bitmiah, Vichyav Mana, Shishim Shkolim, Dahainu Mosim Vabon Dinar, Shashekel Dal Dinar, and as we see, the shekel is 4 dinar, Vakai Mulon, Mana Chafei Sloim, Dahainu Meizuzi, Keraminal, Besul Masayim, La Mana Mana, Ain Rashbam, Dira Maschel, Shmamino, Mesifal Amidois, Vaalamat Beis, Veleki Isurim, Shimavach the Tagod, Loim Aviach Midi, and we see there's no Issa because of the profitability of the merchant, that Kray Baalmahu, Shlo Yishma Taga. The reason why we're not concerned about the merchant is because this is just happening that one merchant didn't find out, and the Rabbana would not make a takana for a taga, as this is a mid leishchiach, and therefore no one will make a mistake, and this person making a mistake is not our concern. And we don't see a heter in the pasuk. But this is an explanation of the words of Shmuel. And Ayin Rashbam, who goes into further detail as to explaining the difference between milabar and milagav, which we already explained. explained. Finally, the Rashbam makes this point at two different times in our sugya, and the Rashbam states, "Uvad she shabu midas rishonis." And certainly, even though we said that you're allowed to create a larger midah and you could change your measuring cups, however, certainly you have to break the original measuring cups in order that people should not be cheated, i.e., in Sham. And before we continue, let us remember that one kav equals four lug, and a chetzi takav, which is 1.5 kav, equals 6 lug. Gemara continues, Rapop Bashmuel takin kailo bat plus a kapizi. Rapop Bashmuel was misakin, and he instituted a new kli, which was the size of 3 kapizi. Rashbam explains that a kapizi is 1 lug smaller than a kav, and is 3 lug. Rapop Bashmuel instituted a new kli, which was able to hold 3 kapizi, or 9 lug. And at this point in the Gemara thought that Rapop Bashmuel was trying to replace original chetzi takav. Instead of having a kli called a chetzi takav, which held 6 lug, he wanted to make this new kli that would hold 9 lug. And therefore, the Gemara tells us, Amrulei, that they said to Rapop Bashmuel, Bashmuel, Emesif Almidus Yes Mishtos, that when replacing different measuring cups, you can't increase the size by more than a 6. And of course, 9 lug is 1/3 more than 6 lug. And when measuring milagav, it's 50% more than 6 lug. Certainly, you have no right to institute such a kli. And I in the Rashbam that the Gemara didn't have to ask from Shmuel, as the Gemara could have asked, that L'chira, if you're going to institute a kli, it holds 9 lug, and we already have a kli, which is a takav, which holds 12 lug. The difference between these two kelim is only 3 lug, which is a quarter of 12 lug. And as we stated before, that Toyet Nishbiriva, that people will make a mistake when there's only a difference of 25% between two different kelim. However, the Rashbam explains, El Mishum Da'am Shmuel Behed Yekaparch Mina, and the reason why the Gemara asked the question from a chetzi takav is based on the fact that Shmuel said this in more mefurish, the pircha that we would have had from a takav is only based on a diik that we made from the previous brisa. Keep in mind that we learned the Gemara like the first pshat of Rashbam and Ayin Rashbam, who brings the second pshat as well. The Gemara tells us Amalahu that Rapop Bashmuel responded that Anoch Kailuchad Takini, that when I was misakin this keli, I wasn't instituting it in order to replace another keli, but I was actually making a brand new keli. Rashbam explains that in the town that Rapop Bashmuel instituted this kli, there wasn't a kli called a takav or a chetzi takav, and therefore there wasn't any other kli that they would get confused with, even though there was a takav and a chetzi takav in other cities that were nearby. However, since in this specific city there was no takav or chetzi takav, so therefore Rapop Bashmuel felt that it was proper to be misakin a kli that held 9 lugin. The Gemara continues, Shadul the Pimpadisa Blekablu, they sent this idea to Pimpadisa, and they were a mekabalit, and they felt that since it's so close to a takav and chetzi takav, and there are cities that have those types of kelim, therefore he should have instituted this type of kli, and Shadul the Papunya Vikablu. However, they sent this to Papunya, and they were mekabal this kli, the Karolei Roy's Papa, and they called this kli the kli of Papa, as he was the one that instituted this type of kli. And Rashbam states, Roy's Papa, Loshim Midahu, this is a Loshin of a measuring cup, Oisir Malchus, in that kingdom, the Istigaris, Roz Papa, Kleimat Sasra Papa, Vloin Hero, the in Loshin Gemara, Ayin Sham. The Gemara continues, Simon, Oitri Paris, in Oitrin, Vein Maitian, Vein Mistakrin, Pamayim Bebeim, Masriim, Vloin Maitian, which refers to 7 different prices that we will discuss. And the Gemara continues with the first brisa. Tana Rabbanan, we learned the brisa, Oitre Peris, Umavi Brivis, Umaktine Efa, Umafkia Sharm, regarding these people, Aleim Akasav Ima, the Pasuk in Amos refers to them when stating, Leim Masa Yava, Chodesh, Vinashbira, Sheva, Ashabos, Viniftachabar, Lahakten Efa, Lahagdil Shekel, Laves Mizni Mimra, Viksiv, and Tupsuk Maleda, the Pasuk says in Amos, Nizbashem, Begoin Yakov, Imeshkach Lanetzach, Kalmaseim. Brisa discusses 4 different categories of people that cheat other Jews, as the Pasuk tells us, Eitzei Peiris, that those Yidden that hold back Peiris and they store Peiris for a long time in order to make sure that the prices go up and then they could sell their Peiris for a lot higher price. And of course, by doing so, they're harming Daniim, as they cause an increase in the market prices. In addition, those that lend money with ribbis and with interest. And number 3, those people that Maktine Eifa, that they make their measurements and their weight smaller, and therefore they're cheating people and claiming that they're selling a certain amount of Peiris and really they're selling much less. And similarly, Mafkia Sharim, those that hold back their payers and they hold it back for a small amount of time, but that causes prices to increase in the market and that causes inflation. And the Psukim in Amos refer to these people, and the Pasuk in Amos in Perches, if that Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to Amos and he tells him that he's upset at Klai Yisrael, and Pasuk Dalet, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Amos, Shimu Zois Hashayfim Evyon Vilashbis Aniye Oretz, you should hear this regarding those people who destroy the poor people. These people do terrible things to Aniyim. Pasuk Hey, the Pasuk continues to tell us the terrible things that they do to Aniyim. Number 1, they say that when this month will go by, so then we will sell our grain. grain and will sell at a higher price. And Rashbam explains that that can't be referring to Itzei Peiros, as it's not such a long time, and therefore this refers to those that are Mafkia Sharim by holding back their peiros and therefore causing market prices to go up. The pasuk continues and talks about Shemitah, that we will hold our peiros until Shemitah, and then we'll open up our storages of grain, and that is referring to those that are Itzei Peiros. The pasuk continues and talks about Lahaktan Eifah, that they make the measurement smaller. This, of course, refers to the third case that the Brisa mentioned, Maktini Eifah, and when the pasuk states, Lahagdil Shekel, that it increased the value of the shekel, they're not referring to people that increase the actual monetary value of the shekel, but they're referring to people that lend with ribbis. For example, they lend $1,000 and then they take back $2,000. That is what the pasuk means when it states Lahagdil Shekel. Two pasukim later in pasuk Zayin, the pasuk states Nishba Hashem begoyim Yaakov, that Kodesh Baruch Hu swears in the splendor of Yaakov, im eshkech lanetzach kol maseim, if I will ever forget the terrible maisim that they did to Aniyim. Rashbam explains Itzei Peiros v'niru li debi'ir shuru b'Yisrael mayri, that we're specifically talking about a city where rove the people were Yisraelim, and the Rashbam states masvi yava chodesh v'nish b'yir shava klayman nimka b'yoker l'seif chodesh achi yemis agarin v'hainu mafkiya sharem, as we explain the l'chodesh l'mikra Itzei Peiros, as by just withholding peiros from the market for 1 month, that would not be considered Itzei Peiros, and v'shabbos v'nitzu chabar klayman masvi tegiya shnasa shmitah, that the wealthy people say when we'll get to shmitah v'nitzucha Itzei Bar, and then we will open our storehouses v'hainu Itzei Peiros, and this is referring to those that are Itzei Peiros. Rashbam also states l'hagdol shekel nirali d'hainu malva b'ribis shemagdol shikloi alidei halvos ribis the imushum l'hagdol shekel mamish maktina eifa shamis law, that would be the same as maktina eifa u'mizne mirma shamis nami o'inois mishkolois ayin sham. The Gemara continues Itzei Peiros k'goy man, what is an example of those that store their peiros in order to increase the price in the marketplace? Armabechron k'goyin shapsai Itzei Peiros, for example, the person named Shapsai who used to store his peiros, and Rashbam points out that he did so k'dei limka l'aniyim b'yoker in order to sell to l'aniyim at a much higher price. Aval k'goyin d'otzei peiros b'shas zel u'moichin b'zel l'aniyim b'shas yoker k'lakamon aval p'shagarim yoker asham muto, that if there would be a person that actually places peiros away and he wants to make sure that there's always going to be peiros that are available for l'aniyim and he's going to sell it at the same discounted price, even though at this point he's causing some increase to price, that would not be considered someone that's Itzei Peiros, and the klala would not apply to such a person. The Gemara continues and discusses the two different ways that Avud Shmuel and his son Shmuel would make sure that there were peiros and there was produce available for aniyim, discounted and fair price. And as the Gemara states, Avud Shmuel masbun l'peiros b'sro chafa, that Shmuel's father would sell his produce during the time of the early market season, and he would sell it for the early price, which was a cheaper price. And this way, he made sure that aniyim could buy produce at a cheaper price. And the Gemara tells us Shmuel Bray Mashil Peri Masbinle Betra Aflo Betra Chafa, and Shmuel, who is the son of Avud Shmuel, he would actually hold his peiros back and he would store his peiros until a later point. And when he saw that the prices went up, he would bring out his peiros and he would sell Taniyim at a cheaper price. And Gemara tells us Shalchum Itam, that they sent from Eretz Yisrael Tavad Abba Midbra, that the way that Avud Shmuel handled Aniyim and helped out Aniyim was better than the way that his son helped out Aniyim. My time on why is it that Avud Shmuel's method was better than Shmuel? Because Tara de Ravach, because once prices stay at a certain level, then that's the price that they will stay. And therefore, Avud Shmuel made sure that the prices would stay low. However, Shmuel actually caused the prices to go up at one point. And once the prices go up, then generally they would stay much higher. And even though Shmuel was helping out Aniyim, as at that point he was able to get them better prices, but ultimately it would have been better off if the prices wouldn't have even gone up initially. Shmuel wouldn't have had to use this method in order to bring down the prices. And Rashbam explains that even when Shmuel did this, he didn't actually go into the marketplace and buy peiros at a lower price, and this would cause the market price to go up directly. And as Rashbam states, v'yotze schari b'avseidai, and really what Shmuel did was he withheld his own tefuah and he didn't go and place it into the marketplace, even though certainly it caused the prices to go up a little bit, but l'maisa, he didn't actually cause a major increase in price, and therefore he felt that this was a better method. The Gemara continues, Amrav, Rav teaches us, oisa adam es kabay oitza, and although it's usur to go and stockpile produce by buying produce from the marketplace and then withholding it from the marketplace in order to wait for the prices to go up, however, if a person has his own produce that he grew in his own farm, then he could withhold it, wouldn't be categorized as Itzei Peiros. And even though the Gemara mentioned the Lashon of Kav, which is Mashma, a very small amount, however, the Rashbam explains, the word Kabay refers to Mashim Lakim Yisadaisav V'lishn Ma'aliyah Naka Klima Oysim Ma'at Shenos L'Akash Baruch Hu, that small amount that Akash Baruch Hu gave him as compared to the whole marketplace, and the only issa is to buy from the marketplace. marketplace and withhold that tefuah from the rest of the marketplace, and in order to increase prices, however, the Rashbam points out that certainly if a person doesn't produce enough produce from his own farm, and the only way they'll have produce for his family is by buying from the marketplace, then certainly he could store that up, and he still will not be categorized as an Eitzrei Peris. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara now brings another Braisa, and this will be the second Simon, which is Ein Eitzrin. The Gemara brings a Raya from this Braisa to the previous Din, and the Braisa states, Ein Eitzrin Peris, Tvarim Sheish Ben Chayin Nefesh, Kagoyin Yein Eshmar Nemusoltais, Avotavlin Kamanu Pilpulin Mutah. That's also for a person to gather together those items which are Tzarech of Eichel Nefesh, and they are basic staples like wine, oil, and flour, and some Rishayim explain, any other food product. However, a person can store up those spices, for example, like cumin and pepper, that would be mutah. Raisa qualifies this din, that the only time that we said that there's an issa of being Eitzer Peiris is only if you buy from the marketplace, but if you actually gather your own tefuah or your own staples from your own field, then that would be mutah. And this is exactly as Rav taught us, Oisa Adam is Kabay Oitzer. The Gemara continues with the rest of the Braisa, and a person is allowed to store Peiris from Eretz Yisrael for 3 years, Eretz Shvius, Shvius, and Matzai Shvius, as certainly during those years, it would be very hard to subsist on the tefuah that is growing in the fields, as certainly during Shemitah, there's not a lot of Peiris that grow. Therefore, a person is allowed to hoard these Peiris and this tefuah for his own personal use and for his family's personal use, Uvishnei Batzeris, and if it's a year of famine, Afilu Kav Cheruvin Loyatza, then you can't even gather together a Kav of Karib, Mepeshim Machlus Meir Besharim, as you're causing a major increase in the prices, and this would be Asa. This Issa during the Shnei Batzeris even applies to someone stockpiling from their own Sada. However, certainly if it's for their own family, then he's allowed to stockpile an amount that would be enough for him to have for his family for 1 year. And the Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Yisrael ben Chanina le Puga Shamai, Rabbi Yisrael ben Chanina told Puga, who was a Shamiz, Puk Atzali Peri Shalosh Shanim Erish Shvius V'Shvius U'Matzai Shvius, that he was during the 6th year of the Shemitah cycle, and he told him, go gather together enough Peris that will last me for the 6th, for the 7th, and for the 8th years. And as we learned beforehand, that you could be Oitzah Peris for 3 years, Liktis B'Shishis L'Tzerech Shishis V'Shvius V'Shminis Limkal Oilam, and even to sell to everyone else, Penyamusa B'Shvius V'Shminis Birov, Dami Peris Shminis Loyachli Atzai V'Shana. And Rashbam points out that this story about Rabbi Yisrael ben Chanina happened in Eretz Yisrael, and even though it was after the Churban Abayis, however, Svi Lei Kedusha Rishayna Kitchel Shaita V'Kitchel Aslavai U'Chamanda Om Megillah Shemati Shemakriv and Afal Pishen Bayis, and therefore the Halachas of Shemitah still applied. Some learned that even if we hold that Kedusha Rishayna is Kitchel Shaita V'Lei Kitchel Aslavai, however, Shemitah is an exception to that rule, and Shemitah still applies B'Zman Hazeh. The Gemara continues with the third Braisa, which we had the Siman of Eimotzin. As Tanur Rabbanan, we learned a Braisa Eimotzin Peretz Meretz Yisrael Dvarim Sheish Ben Chayin Nefesh, that you can't remove Peretz out of Eretz Yisrael, which are things that are Yesh Ben Chayin Nefesh. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Seir says that you can export wine out of Eretz Yisrael because wine brings people to Tifla, and therefore we want to decrease the amount of Tifla in Eretz Yisrael. And as Rashbam points out, that we know Nichlis Yayin Yetzis Said. The Braisa continues to Chashem Sheimitzim Eretz Chutzlaritz, and just like you can't export these items from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlaritz, Kachem Mitzurim Eretz Yisrael to Syria, you also can't export these items from Eretz Yisrael to Syria, even though Syria became part of Eretz Yisrael, but the Maisa Kibush Yochid Lo Shmei Kibush, and therefore it's not considered part of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara ends off, Rabbi Mata Me'afachyo Le'afachyo, Rabbi allows someone to export these items from one area that's right outside of Syria to the area that's right next to the border and in Syria, and since they're so close together, therefore we didn't make this takana. As Rashbam states, Adav Tzadik Alfa Menav Me'afachyo Achreina Shel Eretz Yisrael Le'afachyo Rishayna Shel Syria, from the last of the large cities in Eretz Yisrael to the first of the large cities that are bordering Eretz Yisrael and are in Syria, you're allowed to do that to keep the smukim kol kach mutarin. And since these areas were so close to each other, therefore, specifically in this scenario, they allowed one to export from Eretz Yisrael to Syria. And the reason why you can't export is by exporting periods from Eretz Yisrael to Syria, you're causing that the prices in Eretz Yisrael for basic staples will go up in price, and we will stop over here.